A storm hits the U.S. Houston is underwater. We're looking for compassion. Is it ironic? Is it hypocritical? Is it forgetting the past when we aren't compassionate? And what about Mother Teresa 20 years later? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and I'm connecting the dots between the emotional, the spiritual, and the psychological, and everything in between. This is episode number 482 of The Next Step, and we invite you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
The thoughts today begin from a swimming pool. Ironically, a pool, huh? Filled with water. We've got stories coming out of Texas, Hurricane Harvey. We're going to be talking about that and how we approach these issues, about the compassion that we need. But interestingly enough, today's message begins in a swimming pool where I was looking for some relief. Hot and humid days here in Southern California. I mean, severely hot. So I found myself in a swimming pool the other day, and a bee came close by, actually made a crash landing right into the pool in front of me. And I watched as this bee fluttered its wings. Is that what they do, flutter? Flap? I'm not sure. Just moving them really quickly, really, really, really quickly, trying to save itself, trying to lift itself from certain death. After all, it would drown. And I had compassion for this bee. Is that the right word? Let me just warn you right now, we're talking about words in this first segment. I looked at it and, I guess you feel bad. You feel bad when you see a living creature struggling. I don't know. And there's different types, right? If it's a repulsive creature, maybe not. But in a case of a bee, I don't know what it was, but I said, I have to get this bee to dry land. And so I grabbed a leaf from a nearby tree and placed it underneath the bee and took it out of the water and placed it on the cement near the pool. And sure enough, within a couple moments, the bee had launched itself and was flying and again made a crash dive right into the water. So second time I saved this bee. And I thought, how ironic, that's the word, ironic, if this bee gets out this time, flutters its wings, flaps its wings, moves around, and comes and stings me. That would be ironic, right? I mean, how would you express that? Is that ironic? There's a certain irony in it, right? For the person, you save this bee and it comes around and stings you. Is it ungratefulness on the part of the bee? You've been saved and now you turn around. Is it betrayal? Now, I don't mean to make light because I know there's so many things going on in the world. And especially last few days, we're seeing how this Hurricane Harvey is unfolding. And your hearts go out and you see people in that same situation. You're saying, what's Father Voskin doing talking about this bee? There's a purpose for it. So let's act as if the bee is in that category of understanding what its actions are. Because after all, the bee probably, most probably, is just thinking about survival, right? Right? It's a hot day. Probably came down for just a touch of the water. I don't know why it came down. It got trapped in the current, tried to survive by fluttering itself. Somebody picked it up and maybe got annoyed and in that case came in and stung that person. By the way, it didn't sting. We're just using these scenarios right now because I'm trying to get at something even bigger. So let's just assume that it's not because of the survival, but that the bee had some understanding that it had been helped by somebody and then turned around and stung that person. What would you say then if it understood that? Would you say betrayal? How about hypocrisy? Would that word come into play? Would the bee be considered a hypocrite? Probably not, right? Probably not. I would say disrespectful. I would say probably ungrateful. If it understood that it was saved. Ungrateful. How about that, right? But there is a certain irony in it, right? That the bee is dying. It is saved. And instead of flying away, instead of being appreciative, comes back and stings the person who saved it, its life. That's where we start off today. I got a lot to share with you today, but it starts off because one of the Armenian newspapers on its front page featured a story. Former Alaska governor, this is the headline, Sarah Palin endorsed Danny Tarkanian, I guess Tarkanian, let's anglicize it, for the U.S. Senate. Now, everybody's free to believe what they want. Everybody's free to do what they want. Now, what I'm critical of here is that we as Armenians have featured this and are excited that this takes the top story place in a newspaper. Listen to this, okay? Danny Tarkanian, is a conservative outsider who will support the America First policies our nation needs to survive and thrive, including building the border wall, ending sanctuary cities, and finally repealing Obamacare. And for those of you outside of the U.S., I know you know what it is, but Obamacare, of course, is the Affordable Care Act. In other words, giving people an opportunity to affordable health care. So this statement was by Sarah Palin, former Alaska governor and one-time contender for, I think it was vice president a few years back. Palin said in a statement endorsing Tarkanian provided exclusively to Breitbart News, "Common sense conservatives in Nevada and across America need to unite and help with this critical fight. I strongly endorse Danny Tarkanian for the United States Senate," and so on and so on. Listen to what's being said over here. America first. Our nation needs to survive and thrive. That's beautiful. Including building the border walls, ending sanctuary cities, and finally repealing Obamacare, health care. The bee. Remember the bee? Flying, taking a dive right into the water. You're talking about people. And not just Armenians. I mean, America is known as a place where give me your poor, your downtrodden. They've come here seeking refuge. And these people who have gotten into position are there because America opened its doors. If not for them, their ancestors. In other words, America at one point pulled the leaf off of the tree and stuck it under them so that they could lift up out of that drowning position and fly. Now, what is the expression? Is it ironic that a generation, two, three generations later, that there's no more compassion? Is it hypocritical? Is it betrayal? Betrayal, yeah. Definitely is betrayal on the part of the bee if it understood that it was saved by somebody and it came out and stung that person, right? Betrayal. I mean, we could talk about betrayal all you want. It is the fun and is one of the foundations of Christianity when we understand the cross, right? Jesus Christ. All that he did, all the good that he did at the end was betrayed by humanity, by everyone. Remember the scene up at the cross? There he is hanging and people looking at him and laughing at him. The same people that were applauding him just a week before on Palm Sunday. He comes into town. He's the hero of the day. They take off their clothes and they line the streets, the avenues, so that he on the donkey could be coming in. They take down palm branches and they wave them. They say, Hosanna, multitudes. Hundreds, so many people that the establishment is scared and tells them, tell the people to shut up. And Jesus has to say, no, even if I did tell them to be quiet, the stones would start to sing my praise. Those same people, at the end, where were they? Where were they when Jesus was on the cross? They were looking at him, wagging their fingers and saying, oh, we knew he was bad. All along. We knew that he wasn't to be trusted. You see, he's up on the cross. Yeah, the Gospels do tell us about betrayal. Is that betrayal? When the bee turns around and stings the person that helped him? Yeah, that's betrayal. How about when you, when I, have forgotten that it was because of compassion that we are alive, that someone else extended themselves to us, and we today have forgotten about that. We want to build walls. We want to put ourselves first. We want to forget about a very fundamental value called compassion. I start today's podcast off with this story. Because when we look at the stories, when we did our pictures, our television, our news outlets, whether on the internet, whether on the radio, whatever, wherever they may be today, are literally flooded with stories of this flood, horrific flood in Texas, Houston. And unlike anything you could see, in fact, it's interesting because in Houston they had a drought. They were talking about the trillions of gallons that were necessary to be out of that drought. And today, within the course of 2 or 3 days, those trillions of gallons of water, in fact, I heard the other day that in 2 days, Texas was flooded to the tune of several trillions of gallons of water, which is equivalent to the water which flows down off of Niagara Falls in the course of 2 weeks. Wow. And people are stranded, literally stranded, looking out and needing care and needing compassion. And each and every one of us is part of a bigger community called the global community that needs to reach out. Why? Because we have compassion? Yeah, okay. But because at some point, somebody pulled us out too. And you say, no, 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 I'm self-made. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. And somewhere along the way, somebody has helped you. If not you, it was your parents. If not your parents, it was your grandparents. Somewhere along the way, you are here. You are doing what you do. Because somebody had a little bit of compassion. Somebody was in the pool and saw you drowning and pulled off a leaf. And now the reaction that you have to that compassion, to that care, are many. And you be the judge, because I'm not going to use those words. Is it ironic that you say that I want to build a wall? Is it hypocritical? Is it betrayal? Is it a loss? Is it a loss of humanity? Those are questions that each of us has to answer. Because today what's happening in Houston and Texas is just one bit of the big puzzle. It's what we call at our ministry, walking in the shoes of others. Feeling the pain of others. And I got to tell you that, to me, these are the true tests of faith. I can't tell you how many people communicate with me during the week about issues of faith. I get emails, I get calls. I get people who stop me and talk to me. Yeah, that's one of the pleasures of being on YouTube. People know you. They stop you and they talk to you. And what do you think about this? The other day, I got a very interesting one. Guy stopped me in the middle of Glendale and we were talking and he says, I like your videos and blah, 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 blah. And then he went on and on and on and on. And I'm going, okay, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I signed up for the 2 minute, the 5 minute little video and it was a little bit too long. But I realized that people are looking for these answers. And the church, yes, the church, the body of Jesus Christ, has to be ready to connect the dots with reality. What's happening in Texas today? What's happening everywhere else in the world? Wherever you look, where there is tragedy. What's happening in Korea, North Korea, right? The answers. The situations. What's happening in the Middle East? What's happening in your backyard right now? Is all of our concern. And you have to react to that. You have to be able to take the elements of your faith, what Jesus Christ says. Here is a faith that I am giving you. And this faith is not about what's going to happen in the life to come, but it's a connection with the life that is taking place right now. That's what people fail to do. They start believing that Jesus Christ is talking about a life to come instead of understanding that he's giving you the tools and everything necessary to deal with the life that is right now. It is the eternal present. When we talk about God being the he is. Not he was, not he will be, he is. I am, not I was, not I will be, I am the eternal present. When we talk about God in those terms, we understand that there is a life right now. And it is the one life that God has given us. Everything else is at his mercy. The past you can't change. What's going to happen in the future? That's great that you have a countdown calendar. That's great that you've put together all these things and you've studied Revelation backwards and forward. That's great that you watch all of these evangelists on TV who can explain to you what Revelation means. That's great that you've contributed to them. But you know what? In the end, you're going to look at God. And it's his decision. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says it very clearly. People are going to come up to me and say, yeah, God, we're here. We're with you. We love you. He's going to say, I don't know you. Because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in a flood and you didn't extend a hand to me. I was in a pool drowning and you didn't pick up a leaf. To put it under me, to give me wings, to get myself up. You see, that connection is very, very important. It's the core of armadoxy. And so I can't tell you how many people stop me and they talk about theoretical terms. In fact, there was a joke that we'd have as seminarians. You know, one of the big discussion points in seminary is the Council of Chalcedon in 451. And you learn a lot because in seminary you learn about the three ecumenical councils, which today, according to the Catholic Church, they've gone on all the way till Vatican II, where with the Orthodox Church, they have seven councils, which they claim are ecumenical. But basically, the three main ecumenical councils, the one that took place at Nicaea, at Constantinople, at Ephesus, are the ones that the Armenian True Church adheres to. In 451, there was a fourth council which the Armenians did not attend, and the Armenians rejected. And later, in fact, if you look at it, later the rest of the church rejects too. And it talked about Christ's divinity and Christ's humanity and so on. And here's the joke, that after you start serving, after you've heard all that in seminary and you've gotten through all the stories, and I got to tell you, we studied a lot about this. Books, magazines, it's what differentiates us from everybody else. Oh yeah, we've got to learn that. And here's the joke. You get into parish life, you get into church life, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you never discuss it. Who talks about Chalcedon today? Because today, you have issues that are pertinent to today. Your kids are doing stuff that you don't understand. Your marriage is in shambles. You can't understand each other as husband and wife. You've got bills that are choking you, and you don't know how to make ends meet. And add to that your health issues, man. You're not as young as you used to be. Things are creeping up on you, and you're trying to make sense out of this thing called life. Right? Your faith better be able to address those issues. Better be able to connect the dots with those issues. You can't be talking about a life that's going to come, because ultimately that's God's decision. You could sit there and say, hey, I studied Book of Revelation, and God says, who cares? What are you going to do, argue with him? Well, you know what? I saw that late night, the TV evangelist said, I have to learn Book of Revelation. God says, well, sorry, can't accept you on those terms. What are you going to do, argue? And say, well, you know what? I contributed. Now, you can't argue. It's at the mercy. You're at God's mercy. The greatest prayer we have is, Lord, have mercy. Because you can't say anything in the face of God. What are you going to say? You know, like, I really did a good number in this world. I did some incredible stuff. Yeah, I did this, I did that. God's going to say, hey, I told you, you can't use that word, I. What happened to the we? Where's our community? Where's our world that gave you a beautiful world and look what you've done with it? You don't know. God may say, you know what? All of you come in. Father Voss can stay out. What are you going to do? That's life. But I do know that here in this life, he has given us some conditions to love one another, to take care of one another, and to have compassion towards one another. It's right there. It's in Scripture. It's the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, not only spoke it, he lived it. That despite all the difficulties, he still gave, and still gave, and still gave. We're going to talk a little bit more about compassion in the second portion of our show. In fact, I got a little piece for you, but I want to start off with that, and also got some celebratory words, because happens to be the 20th anniversary of Mother Teresa's passing. I'm going to share with you some thoughts on that as well. Right now we're going to do the song of the day. This is from the Luis Vocal Quintet. Dear friend of ours in Australia, Laura, sent us a copy of this. They performed down there. I think I shared with you a few weeks ago. I had a chance to see this in the caves of Gerhard. Not only, I said see, well, I did see them there, but to hear them, to experience it right in the caves. And I thought of this beautiful song called Lord Have Mercy, Der Vohormia. It's sung in the Armenian church. It's a late addition to the Armenian church liturgy. It's a beautiful rendition that you're going to hear right now. Five voices. I want you to, I'm sharing this right off right now because we talked a lot about compassion, about what we need to do. Maybe this is a good time, unless you're driving. If you're driving, don't do this next part. But if you're listening in a quiet little area, maybe it's time. Just close your eyes. Think about what's going on in the world as you listen to this. Let the tune, let the voices take you away. And really look within and what is your reaction to the pain around you. Luis Vocal Quintet, Der Vohormia. This is Luis Vocal Quintet, Armenia, doing Dead of Old, May Our Lord Have Mercy. And our thanks to Laura for sending us this beautiful CD with liner notes and everything. We'll put a link on today's show notes. You know, sometimes it gets hard to find the links to these things because, you know, in the old days, really old days, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, music was available via CDs. Now there's so many electronic means of transmitting this music and getting this music. So sometimes we have a difficult time finding the exact link that you need, but we did find a link that points to the group on Facebook. So maybe that's the best way, but we'll put a few links on today's show notes. I had a chance to hear them live back in 2014, and it was purely by chance, or maybe not by chance, because I don't believe in that. We were walking through Gerard, and we stumbled upon them in one of the caves. They were performing, they were singing. It was just out of this world, and that is a literal way to describe it. Literally out of this world. You get in there and you're just lost. I had a chance to record them. And subsequently, I have videos, personal videos of them. I haven't been able to put them up online because I think something is lost. It's a personal decision. I haven't shared these because something is lost. You just cannot record this beauty. And so if you ever get a chance to see this incredible group, Luis Vocal Quintet, don't pass the opportunity. Anyway, there will be a link on today's show notes. Thank you, Laura, for these CDs. Really appreciate it. And I hope all of you enjoyed this music. And I hope you did what I asked you to do. Close your eyes for a few moments and think, how do you react to what's going on in the world? I'll tell you some more in just a moment.
Go. So good to me, God hears so good to me.
One of our listeners, Christine, sent me a set of gospel CDs. And this is when she was working, I believe, it was at Warner Brothers, at one of the big studios. And I got this incredible package of CDs, all gospel. Gospel, which comes out of the sufferings of the African American community, comes out of the suffering of people. And it's a reflection of that suffering. And as I listen to gospel music, until this day, I always think about how beautiful it is that you can translate, you can find that means of expression and healing via the music. And again, last night, I mean, you felt that right now, a few minutes ago, right? When you heard the song of the day. Right, when you heard the Luis Quintet singing, you felt the pain of our people. That song, by the way, that they sang, Dervo Ormea, was a later addition to the Divine Liturgy. It is one of those songs that was added, I believe, in the 18th century, maybe 17th century, because of the uncertainty of the times, because there was so much fear. And it's just basically saying, Lord, have mercy, help us. It's that moment of prayer. Now it's accepted. It's part of the Divine Liturgy. You look at the early texts of the liturgy, it's not in there. And so with gospel music too, you know, it's like this expression that people have to find hope, to believe that things are going to get better. And just last night, as we're watching the images coming out of Houston, Texas, of this horrific hurricane, Harvey, and there they are. There's a group of people that were at one of the shelters with everything spread out. Not much else except the clothes that were on their back and a few handouts that they have. There they are. They were singing. They were praising. They were singing gospel songs. I'm going to see if I could get a video link of that. Do check out today's show notes because it is very inspirational. It was very touching, to say the least. But we are on the topic of compassion, and I want to share with you some thoughts about this in light of all the tragedies, particularly these natural disasters that happen. When I was a young man, as all good tales begin, I was fortunate to have some incredible priests in my life that had shaped me, molded me. One of them was the very Reverend Didier Dervishian. Yeah. He was at my ordination, actually. He had retired for several years. He was my parish priest at St. James in Los Angeles, and really one of the heavyweights when you think about it, personal friends with Archbishop Shinork Kalustian and Archbishop Didon Nersoyan, Archbishop Asolig. These were all the same genre of people, and I was very blessed that you know, he was our parish priest. But I have to admit, and I have to confess, that I don't remember much of what he taught, except that he was always there, which is a teaching in itself, isn't it? It's just there, solid rock. But I do remember one sermon in particular that has left. It's not a big revelation, but I want to share it with you because it is very profound in the message. He said that to do evil to someone who has done good to you is satanic. Sadanayagane. That's how we expressed it. So to return evil in the face of goodness, someone does good to you, to return evil, that is satanic, he said. He said to do good to someone who has done good to you, or to do evil to someone who has brought evil to your life, is human. Right? Someone does good to you and you return it with another good. It's human. Someone hurts you, you hurt them back, then that's human. And then he gives the fourth option. He says, but to do good to someone who has done evil to you, that's divine. Asvazain. I always remembered this. This short little four scenario matrix, right? To do evil to someone who has done good to you is satanic. To do good for someone who has done good, evil to someone who has done evil to you is human. But to do good to that person who has done evil, that is divine. And that divine expression is not just doing good to someone who has done evil to you, but it's the message of just doing good. Remember the story of the banquet when Jesus says, when you give a banquet or when you do some good things, give to people who have absolutely no way of paying back to you, because your Heavenly Father sees what you have done and will reward you. And I know in your life, without knowing you, I could tell you, in your life, the goodness that you've done has never gone unrewarded. Yeah, you've gotten hurt. You've gotten slapped in the face. You've gotten even betrayed, right? But there is goodness that hits you back. And that goodness is from God. And here's the kick of it all. If you don't look for it, it comes back so much more. And so when we talk about compassion, and especially when I started off, you know, I shared with you this story about Palin and this about these things, we got to stop thinking about these goodness, these good people, this goodness is going to come from governments. It comes from us. You see what's going on in Houston, and everybody waits for the president to get there. Everybody waits for the senators and the ambassadors to come in and say their things. Who are the people on the ground, folks? Who are the people who are helping? Who are the people who are lifting up the tragedy? It's not politicians. Politicians, again, they're going to be out there for their own causes. Sorry to disappoint you. There was an op-ed piece in the LA Times this week. A few of you sent me links to that. Thank you. The Trump administration's alternative Christianity. I'll put a link on today's show notes. You could read it. But again, what it does is it puts a reliance on government to take the lead and initiative to do the right thing. What about us? What about us as church? Where are we? Where are we as the body of Christ? Where would Christ be in the middle of natural disasters? Another article this week appeared. Another story. What was it? I can't remember the name of the guy, and nor do I want to remember it, nor do I want to put a link on today's show notes. Some guy in Fresno who decides that, you know, gays don't belong, or gay education and doesn't belong in the curriculum or whatever. I don't know what the background of the story, but what I do know is he likened the gay lesbian experience to the genocide. How could you do that? How could you possibly say something like that? What are you doing when you start talking like that? You're trying to incite hatred. You're trying to get people riled up because you know it. You know that that's not genocide. You try to get people all wound up to divert their focus from what they should be doing. You know, right now, magic, I got to tell you, I've done a lot of magic in my life. One day I'll have to share with you some of the magic things that we used to do. But I had a fascination with magic, and I still do. One of my favorite magic stories, it was at the Wilshire E. Bell Theater. This is in Los Angeles. And I was a young kid, and my dad had taken us, and we were sitting in the balcony. And the magicians on stage were playing to the audience that was on the ground floor in the orchestra section. And so if you were in the orchestra section, you were seeing some great, great magic. And one of the things that was really amazing was when they made, I believe it was a goat, a little goat appear in the middle of all these things. And I'll never forget it because I had seen this show from the downstairs. And that night we were up in the balcony. And all of a sudden I saw how it appeared. They basically had everybody looking at something else. And from the back, they just walked the goat right in and placed it right in the center stage. And because of my position that day, I was able to notice that. And so, too, with a lot of these politicians. And by politicians, I'm not talking about just government officials. I'm talking about people in power. They will deflect your attention from what the issue is to get you to focus in on something else. Now, how about addressing the issue of compassion, of suffering in the world? What do we do about it? Now, this week happened to be the 20th anniversary of Princess Diana's death. And I'll never forget when she passed away. It was one of those moments that in my generation, we had the Kennedy moment. When Kennedy was shot, we all remember where we were. And I think in subsequent generations, there has been these events where everybody remembers where they were. The OJ trial or the OJ run on the freeway. You know, people remember where they were when OJ made a run for it, you know, in what was it, the Ford Bronco. Or the Princess Diana moment when she passed away. Or 9/11, of course. 9/11 2001. You know, it's one of those events you remember where you were. Princess Diana's death was one of those. But interestingly enough, the day that John Kennedy passed away, so did Aldous Huxley. And I always remember this because Aldous Huxley was one of my heroes because I had read him and I had appeared in one of his plays called Brave New World. And the whole idea of doing alternative realities, he was a philosopher. He had died the day that John Kennedy died, and so people didn't notice. So too, when Princess Diana died, it was only a couple days later that Mother Teresa passed away. Very silently, quietly. Of course, her age was there, and she had to. It was her time, unlike Diana's. And so, in a way, she was unnoticed. Fortunately, the Roman Catholic Church brought more attention to her, later beatified her. She is a saint of the Roman Catholic Church. She is known as Teresa of Calcutta, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And this week we had an opportunity to study some of her writing some of her thoughts at our Bible study. And I'll invite you, it'll be on today's show notes. Do check out the Bible study from last Monday night. We talked about it in depth. But this is what I wanted to share with you today. She makes a point of talking about the sufferings of people. And she says, do not worry about why problems exist in the world. Just respond to people's needs. And I find this so refreshing to hear this, because we do this all the time, don't we? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, there's suffering in the world. There's problems in the world. Can we get to the bottom line point? Do we need to blame people? Yes, obviously, if you can blame somebody, you can maybe get to the root of the problem. You can eliminate the problem so it doesn't happen in the future. Yes, there are options and there are people who need to take care of that thing. But what about for you, for you, me? Where is our compassion level? And that's the whole idea of walking in the shoes of others, is to have that compassion for others. No sooner had we done this Bible study on Mother Teresa. And again, please use that Bible study, watch it, use the points in there as a supplement to today's podcast. But no sooner had we done this, I think it was the next morning or the morning after, Susie had tweeted an article or something that had appeared on Marketplace about compassion and how compassion can pay off. Ah, now, did I get your attention? Compassion can pay off. Well, it certainly got the attention of others. Listen up. This is just a couple minutes from Marketplace.
Cities outside the immediate Texas flood zones are preparing to take in more refugees. San Antonio is getting ready. Dallas is converting the convention center there into a massive shelter. Which brings us to a story today about compassion. Cities, even companies. Glynis Board of the public media collaborative Ohio Valley Resource has this report.
An ice pop factory here in Wheeling, West Virginia, called Ziegenfelder Company, has recently embraced hiring practices that ignore felony status and addiction history. CEO Lisa Allen says about 20% of her employees have some sort of legal or drug history, unsurprising numbers, given the ongoing opioid epidemic. But Allen doesn't consider that background important hiring information.
What's relevant is behavior, commitment, values, hard work, helping each other, those kinds of things. You do that, you're welcome here.
Allen's company joins a number of organizations that see compassion as an important business strategy.
We have an opportunity to help people change their behaviors by providing a job.
Dr. James Doty is a professor of neurosurgery at Stanford University and a champion of this approach. He's vice chair of the Charter for Compassion, an organization that calls for government and businesses to make decisions through the lens of compassion. He says his research shows in the workplace this can lead to fewer sick days and more productive people.
What we have found is that when you are feeling as if others love you or care for you, then your physiology works at its best.
Louisville, Kentucky is one of more than 80 U.S. cities to sign the Compassion Charter. Louisville's mayor, Greg Fisher, is a former business owner and a strong advocate.
If people don't feel like they're interconnected and interdependent, and if people are not being invested in their human potential, you're not going to optimize your company, and you're certainly not going to optimize your city.
The city has pulled together what it calls a compassion index to measure things like access to affordable housing and transportation. By some measures, Fisher says compassion's become more evident since the city signed the charter in 2011. By others, he says it's still lagging. In West Virginia, I'm Glynis Board for Marketplace.
What do you know about that? What do you know about that? Yeah, there'll be a link on today's show notes to the entire piece. Yeah, Marketplace. But what do you know about that, huh? A compassion index. Talking about walking in the shoes of others. Of understanding our responsibility to others and that your physiology reacts to it. People's physiology, the way they feel, reacts to being loved. And reacts to loving, caring about others. Charter for Compassion. I'm going to check that out, and I invite you to check it out too. An organization that calls government to make decisions through the lens of compassion. Through the lens. Have we heard these things before? But it's beautiful to hear them again, aren't they? But it all comes back to that little bee. That little bee in the pool. And I want to just leave you with that image in your head. That what is that? Who is that little bee? That is trying to survive. That is trying to flutter its wings so that it could fly. It's each of us. And there is a hand, there is somebody who comes along and puts something under us that gets us out of that water, out of that mess. Now, we can attack that person. We can sting that person. Or we can pay it forward and say that because I was helped, because I got out of that pool, now I need to go out and pollinate. I need to go out there and do something productive. I need to go and help others. Yeah. You pick up the rest of the metaphor. You go out there and you do something good. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to have a link on today's show notes to everything we talked about, including a link to how you can help out with the disaster in Texas, how you can make a contribution, and I hope you will. Before going, I want to leave you with a prayer. And this prayer is, again, I want to invite you to watch the Bible study from last Monday night, dedicated or devoted to Mother Teresa and her teachings. But this is a prayer that Mother Teresa would pray. And I want to share this sort of like as an outgoing of today's message on compassion, a different approach to compassion. There's so much we could talk about, of course, but within the context of next step of armadoxy, of trying to do armadoxy, okay? This is a prayer by John Henry Newman. It is one that Mother Teresa would pray. It is one of her prayers, and I want to share it with you. Dear Lord, help me to spread your fragrance wherever I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only you, O Lord. Stay with me, then I shall begin to shine as you do. So to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Lord, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Let me thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words, but by my example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of the love my heart bears to you. Amen. One of Mother Teresa's favorite prayers, one which expresses compassion as a living way of life. Wanted to share that with you as a closing shot. Here's Susie to make a few announcements. I'll be back in a few moments and we'll wrap it all up, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that message. Thank you to all of you for all the wonderful cards and messages that we get from you. I got cards this week. Thank you very much. And I read everything. I love everything. Thank you very much. I appreciate even the criticism. Yes, get some criticism. By the way, I want to just share with you, please, please, please use the emails. It's faster, much more efficient. feedback@epostle.net or use the Facebook Messenger service either directly to me or to Susie. Do not use other means because they don't get to us. I'll be honest with you. Going on a page and leaving comments there don't get to us. Make sure if you're going to leave comments here and there, tag us so that we get notices of them too. I just heard from somebody, well, I wrote you a couple months ago and I never heard back from you. And it was about this and that. And I was surprised that, you know, you didn't react to it. Well, first of all, it might be that I'm just don't care about that topic, which in this case it was. But in the other case, I went and I said, wow, where is this? I checked my email. I checked. It was lost because the person had put a message on somebody else's page and expected me to look at it. For instance, the Western Diocese page, they play a lot of my videos and people will make comments. I don't read those unless I'm tagged on them. Then I get a message. Otherwise, you know, you're going to spend your whole life looking up stuff. So anyway, please make sure that if you want to get in touch with us, just use the feedback@epostle.net or write us directly. If you have one of our emails, be happy to write back. Get back to you. Listen, there's a few things coming up and I want to bring to your attention. September 9th and 10th, I need your prayers. We're going to be walking a 40-mile walk. It is to end breast cancer. As you know, those of you who listen to The Next Step know that we lost a very, very dear friend, one of my closest friends, earlier this year. We're going to be walking in her memory. And we're going to be raising awareness and money for breast cancer. I'm very pleased and proud to tell you that a small group of us under the name In Her Shoes is a subdivision of In His Shoes has raised $15,000 this year. Not bad, right? For a small group of people. I think there's eight of us walking and two or three or four people that are going to be crewing, but we've raised $15,000 to end breast cancer. It is a requirement to walk. Now, I want to say that. It is a requirement to walk. You have to raise $1,800 a person to walk. In other words, it's a privilege to walk. It's not a chore. It's a privilege. Got it? You pay to walk, to sweat 40 miles. Anyway, we are going to be walking that. If you would like more information, get on our Facebook page, or you could just put in hershoes.org and you'll be directed to our Facebook page. You'll see here and see things about it. We are going to have an after event little gathering if you so choose to be part of that. It's a little potluck out at the field where we end up walking in near Santa Barbara, California. Beautiful, beautiful area. If for nothing else, come out because it's a beautiful area, but come out for the support because I know you're compassionate people. Also on the 24th of this month of September, actually tomorrow begins September, 24th of September, we'll be celebrating 35 years of this ministry and with a special celebration at where it all began. At St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles. You want some more information about that? Love to see you there. Drop me a line, okay? That about does it for right now. I want to just invite you to get involved with all of the activities that we have going. We are at inhisshoes.org, epostle.net, of course, on Facebook, Instagram, pictures, and we've got Twitter. Twits. Oof. We are on Twitter, okay? Sorry. I'm not as proficient as the president is. Hope not. Listen, for the wonderful team who put today's show together, I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed preparing it for you. Do get involved. Check out the show notes. Get involved wherever you can to help with this horrible situation that's going down in Texas. Bring your commitment and your support to that cause as well. For the wonderful team who put this show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
To ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.